loving church. And my wife and this is my wife's first time, so I was glad that she could come with me. I'm not a big guy for introductions, but I'll just tell you a couple things. Number one, like many of you, I know you guys are all happy that you're a child of God, right? That you can call on your Father and He can answer your prayers. Number two, besides being a husband, the cool thing is in 2 months I'll be a daddy. So for that reason, however, thank you. For that reason, my wife told me I had to keep my sermon short because she's already tired. And she has to go to the bathroom too many times. So right now, I'm actually working at an EVMS. I work as a dermatologist. My wife is actually doing residency there too. So this topic actually coincides with a little bit in my field. And I know it's a couple of stories in the Bible that we read about leprosy and what leprosy did to those individuals and how they were cured. But I wanted to kind of dive a little bit deeper into what it is. I'll show you some photos as well. So if you don't like some gross pictures, feel free to close your eyes. But I just wanted to kind of make a deeper impact what leprosy was in biblical times and even today in these days, because we haven't fully eradicated it. I actually do quite a bit of volunteer work, and I go to Guam, and I try to go to Guam about once a year. And even there, I had an 8-year-old girl that was misdiagnosed for about 2 years, and we ended up doing a biopsy, getting some tests, and she was 8 years old with leprosy. And you can still find it in the Middle East and some of the islands, so it's still present around the world. So to get into it, I'll just offer one more prayer so that we can open the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here in this house of worship on your holy Sabbath day. Thank you for a beautiful weather and the sun shining and our smiles are big and wide. As we open your Word, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Wash our minds and our hearts that we can concentrate on you and that we don't have interruptions from phones or from other things that we have concerns in our life. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So my message will have a little bit of an Old Testament and a New Testament segment. And the first part, if you wanted to follow along, will be in Leviticus 13. And it really has to do with how the individuals back then were treated and what they needed to do to make sure that the disease didn't progress. So I'll just start in Leviticus 13, verse 1. And it said, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'When anyone has a swelling or a rash or a shiny spot on their skin that may be a defiling skin disease, they must be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons who is a priest.'" So just stopping there, it's really interesting when you look at it. Leprosy is caused by a bacterium called Mycobacteria leprae. And when you see in that verse, who do they bring the lepers to? But to the priests. And it has something to say, like, for those that are in the healthcare professional field, in terms of their ministry. Priests are individuals that, you know, had a connection with God to bring people to them. And I think it also points out that as healthcare professionals, we have that ministry too, that even though we're trying to help their illnesses, we have something that we need to try to bring these individuals also get to know God a little bit better. And in the continued verses, it says the priest is to examine the sore on the skin, and if the hair, if the hair in the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be more than skin deep, it is a defiling skin disease. When the priest examines the person, he shall pronounce them ceremonially unclean. If the shiny spot on the skin is white but does not appear to be more than skin deep and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest is to isolate the affected person for 7 days. We see an algorithm here, basically, a way to diagnose. Leprosy was worse than many of the other diseases, even in today's days. In the Far East, during that time, it was basically a death sentence. And even Ellen G. White, in one of her Bible commentaries, says, and I want you to picture this, speaking about the leper, it says, "His voice became a grunt. It affected the way he could speak. His breath became unbearable. His contorted joints buried in or completely dislocated by tubercles that were growing over them, and his body was covered with black, blue, and leaden-colored patches of raw flesh, where the disease had not yet completed its work. And then it continues. The affliction spread until it reached some vital organ, which eventually culminated in the death of the victim. No more loathsome a sight than that of a leper can be conceived. They were forsaken by relatives and friends. He was a pitiful spectacle in every way. No wonder men considered him forsaken by God. So leprosy is nothing to play with. And I'm going to show you some photos now. So if you're not into this, you could close your eyes. So these, on a microscopic picture, when you actually blow them up, they look, you know, I guess like short, fiery red Cheetos. But you may not want to buy them anymore. But when it shows up, a lot of these patches first turn kind of whitish. They can be slightly scaly. Some could confuse this with it being eczema or maybe a fungus infection. This is a little one on her cheek, and so it can affect any part of the body. They slowly start to grow and kind of get thicker in size. And you get to the point where it's kind of now encompassing the whole area or taking over. And sometimes they call these individuals, when it really affects the entire face, they say that they have a lionine facies. And you can see in one of these old pictures with all the large wrinkles and tubercles that you can see, it just kind of takes over. So it's a very miserable disease. The unfortunate thing is then it can start to affect the eyelids, and the eyelids get wiped out. And so their eyes also get very dry, and they become blind. They lose portions of their cartilage, so you can see that the nose now doesn't really exist. You can see that it starts to affect the limbs. And we see this because all the nerves now have been affected. They become anesthetic, so you can't feel it. If you would puncture, if I would, like, maybe with a syringe needle or with a knife, puncture the tip, they wouldn't feel it, so I could do whatever I wanted if I had to do something surgical. The problem is also on the feet, and we see this also with some individuals with diabetes. The nerves get affected. If you stub on something, you won't feel that. And unfortunately, you can see it also happens in young children. The joints become distorted, and sometimes the pieces just fall off. And I thought that was a cute picture with her praying, but so. You can see the severity that the disease can bring about. Now, I know some of you that I've greeted when I first came into the church, and you don't have to raise your hands, but imagine if I had leprosy. Everyone that I greeted right now would be infected. And then you would go back home, and you would spend time with your family, and then you would spread the disease to them. And you can see how all of a sudden it's an epidemic, or endemic. So, it very, very easily can spread. And the question is, what if I also told you that this disease was very socially reprehensible? What if I told you that disease, it had to perhaps consider something you did in your life, and you're putting your business out there for everyone to know? In Numbers 12, there's a story of Miriam and Aaron. And both of them had become a little jealous of Moses. Why is Moses getting all this favoritism from God? And so they started to speak really badly about him. And even worse, about his wife, right? You don't talk about someone's wife. God was not pleased with that. And God made it clear that Moses was the one that he had selected. So if you turn to Numbers chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, where we have done foolishly, where we have sinned." Aaron now goes to the person that he is condemning. "Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses, what did he do? He cries unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." Isn't Moses a nice guy? There is his sister, his brother, bad-mouthing him and his wife. And the Lord, and Moses says, Lord, please don't lay this upon her. Now, verse 14 is interesting. Here's how the Lord actually responded. And I want you to take this into the context of how people looked at people with leprosy in that day. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is in verse 14, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed for 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp for 7 days, and after that she can be received again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp for 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. God is merciful, but he was telling her that she would be ashamed. Leprosy was viewed as a shameful disease. In fact, in the Jewish mindset, and if you take this into context of Old Testament stories and about leprosy, you will see that there are several stories where leprosy was actually inflicted as a punishment by God. And this is a story I know David has shared, but the story of Gehazi. Do you remember him? He was the one that wanted the riches from Naaman. And because he was deceitful about it, God inflicted him with leprosy. And that leprosy that Naaman had was now transferred to him. Now, if we go back to Leviticus 13, there is a prescription that how to treat these lepers, and one of the main things is they need to live outside of the camp. Anyone with a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. These are clothes of mourning. And it continues, let their hair be unkempt, covering the lower part of their face, crying out, unclean, unclean. And as long as they have the disease and they remain unclean, they must live alone. They must live outside of the camp. This is how bad leprosy was in Jewish mindset. If you were a leper and you were taking shade by a tree, and it was really hot for you, like some of these, you know, summer days here, and you decided that this was the only tree around and you wanted to take shade by there, by tradition, you would then be considered unclean. Just want to put in your mindset how dangerously bad the disease is. When you had leprosy in the late stages, the flesh on your cheeks would fall off, the bones would be exposed. Again, we talked about eyelids falling off, being blind. The hair was to be kept long and unkempt. And I think this was really in mercy so that it would cover the appearance of such an individual. If you picture this in mind, he looks like a monster or something that we see some of these zombies in these movies, right? Another thing to keep in mind is leprosy did not care if you went to church on Sabbath. It didn't care if you were a king. It didn't care if you how many graduate degrees you had. It didn't care if you were fourth or fifth, you know, generation Adventist, or if you had pastors in every generation. Anyone who had leprosy, whether it was a prince or a peasant, was under the same judgment, same consequence. Leprosy was the great equalizer in the Bible. And in the Bible, it was a representation of sin. If you think about the anesthesia that you have from leprosy, it is actually a perfect description. Leprosy gives you the inability to feel things that are harmful to you. And the more we participate in sin, it deadens our conscience, and we are unable to feel the effects of sin upon us. We cannot discern things that are now harmful to us. Now, that was the first part of that, and I want to now transfer into the New Testament. And we're going to talk about one Bible story in Mark 1. So I want to set the scene for you. There's a man by the name of Jesus going around, and the word is spreading about him. He's healing a ton of people, and the word is going out that he may be the Messiah, the person that they've been waiting for. Now, there has been a drought of prophets for about 400 years. There hasn't been any word. But this man is speaking as if there is something special about him. And the word is getting out, and it's getting out as far as where the lepers were outside of the camp, in the outskirts of society. So imagine with me, if you will, a leper. He's now with his other companions outside of the city. They all have to hang out together. They depend on the kindness of other people to bring them food. They can't even approach society. Now there are these whispers that there's this guy over there. And one of the lepers says, wait a minute, I remember that guy. He used to lay on that mat over there, and now he looks completely healed. That's the same coat he used to wear when he had the disease, and he has nothing on his skin anymore. Another leper looks, and he says, wait, I see the man now touching a boy, and the boy is standing up. No, he's not just standing up. He's dancing. What is going on? They've heard of people being healed and people coming who had conditions that were considered hopeless. And now they're starting to think. They see these things happening from afar off, but they can't get too close. They're hearing shouts of hallelujah, of praise the Lord. And then there's that one leper. Something happens in his head, and he gets a little crazy. He forgets where he is living. He forgets the social norms. And I think that guy, maybe if I approach him, he's healing others, he could possibly heal me too. Therefore, he decides to approach Jesus. He's trying to get close to Jesus. And I want you to understand exactly what he did. He's supposed to be shouting, unclean, unclean. Instead, he's calling out, and in my imagination, Savior, Jesus, please. Other people around him, around Jesus, are saying, what is this person doing? And as he's coming closer to Jesus, you can imagine the others are backing away. His breath is putrid. He looks like a monster. Hair unkempt. He's probably got other diseases and infestations in the wounds that have been opened. But he thinks that it's a good idea to talk to Jesus. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, it says, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Realize that he actually had to overcome three problems to get to Jesus. Problem one, the last time somebody was healed from leprosy was 800 years ago, and that was Nahum. He must have remembered stories that his mom must have told him about Nahum. I mean, that's 8 centuries ago. But that's still in the back of his mind, thinking that, well, if he was healed, maybe there's something that Jesus can do. You know, we sometimes believe these mission stories that happen far ago in the Far East, but we don't think that they can happen in America. We believe that there were breakthroughs that our grandparents and our parents had, but they don't happen in 2019, right? Because if your iPhone can't solve it, it can't be solved. Nevertheless, the God of 2,000 years ago is the same God right now, and he can fix all of our problems. Problem number two, he was in quarantine. The biblical model established in Leviticus about quarantine is the same thing we do in the hospital today. If there's something infectious like tuberculosis or leprosy and they're admitted, they're in a separate room. There's these vents that take out the air so it doesn't get spread into the hospital. There are negative pressure. And so he decided to go against these rules. And I would submit to you that perhaps in some Christian and in even some Adventist churches, we have set up certain barriers or certain quarantines from people coming to Jesus. We have maybe engineered a social framework that tries to keep people, maybe not purposely or consciously, but just keep them away from Jesus. We're acting like the disciples. Jesus is busy. Don't have these children come and bother him now. And we set up these barriers and these rules where if they're not in our circle, they can't come to Jesus. He's thinking that we need to fix our problems first before we can come to him to be clean. But we need Jesus now. Problem number three, would Jesus heal someone who's been cursed? I can imagine that because society believed that leprosy, whoever had leprosy did something wrong, the individual themselves also started to believe that, right? If you tell your child something, he's going to start to believe it. If you tell your friend something long enough, they're going to believe, even if it's something bad. And we have created this mentality. We think that sometimes if they had only followed the health message, they would not be in this situation right now. They wouldn't be in the hospital. If she had just raised her children right, then her child right now, 16, wouldn't be having one herself. If they only had attended prayer meeting, they would not be out of a job for 8 months. It's not necessarily a result of something they did. Perhaps it could be God trying to work out something out for them and give them a testimony they have no idea about. When a woman comes and says, you know, my husband's been cheating on me and I don't know what I should do. Sometime, even subconsciously, we could blame her. Well, you know, if you just made yourself a little bit more attractive, he wouldn't have been going out searching for something else. If you had cooked him nicer dinners, not just rice, night after night, maybe he would have stayed home. We need to make sure that we're not trying to fill in those blanks. People may be saying, wait, are you telling us not to be judges? And yes, but I like the quote from C.D. Brooks. He says, the Lord did not make us judges, but he did make us fruit inspectors. Because of their fruits, you shall know them. But we need to be careful making stories about them when we don't know what's really going on in their life. So would Jesus heal somebody who's been cursed? I can imagine that there were people screaming in horror when this guy came up. But listen to what Jesus says, which is written in verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put his hand forward and touched him and said unto him, I am willing, be thou clean. And he was cured. Now, three things you can learn from this. There's absolutely nothing the leper could do to fix himself. I think we tend to believe that we can fix it on our own. There are some problems going on, and maybe if I just install this app on my phone and that monitors what I look at, it can fix this problem. But we find a way around the app. If I can just stop looking at something like this for 1 month, I'll be cured forever. Some of us believe that I can stop it at any time, but we're still trapped by the same sin. First thing was there's nothing he could do to fix himself. Number two, what did Jesus do? He actually touched him. In medicine early on, we're told, you gotta wear gloves. You don't know what they have. From another standpoint, they don't know what we have, so it's good to protect them from us. So maybe if I was Jesus, I'd be like, okay, I'm willing, but you stay over there and you can be healed. But remember creation. Jesus created things by his word. But when he created us, he got his hands dirty. The third thing you can learn is that Jesus responded instantly and affirmatively to this man's requests. He didn't say, well, let's fix some things in your life and then you can be healed. There are a lot of things that we request of God that he may or may not give to us, but there are a few things he'll answer instantly. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive our sins. You can say, Lord, please forgive me for my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. What does Jesus say? Yes. Lord, please help me to overcome my sin of gossip. What does he say? Yes. Lord, please help me overcome my sin of lying. What is his answer? Yes. Lord, please find me a spouse. What is his answer? Maybe. However, when we ask Jesus, please forgive me of my sins, Lord, help me to be more like you, his answer is instantly and affirmatively yes, and we need to believe that. There is a short video that a friend actually showed me, and it comes from the Creation Church. Its minister is Joseph Prince. So I did take that excerpt, and I like to show you because I think the video really brings it home and summarizes the message. And we'll go ahead and let him play that now.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock.
You know, a lot of times we feel like there's something in our lives that God cannot fix. And Satan's greatest power would be to deceive us and to make us believe that. There's no sin, whether that be outwardly that everyone can see or internal sin that God cannot do. We just have to remember that we can come to him and we don't have to be quarantined and we don't have to be separated. All you need to do is get on your knees and pray to God and he can answer all of your prayers. Amen.
Amen. Church family, our closing song in response to Eddie's message is All Things New. And the bridge to this song is really lovely, and you are going to help lead this part. And it goes like this.
The heavens have been opened. I know that I am chosen. I am alive in you. I am alive in you.
Sing with me.
The heavens have been opened. I know that I am chosen. I am alive in you. I am alive in you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much for the message. simple verse. Mark 1, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I believe he looks at us all with compassion. And he just asked. He was bold enough to go up in a place where he couldn't go. Thank God. Your love's making all things new.
Your love's making all things new.
Sing.
Bow our heads for prayer. Lord, as the song says, you can make all things new. And over what sins and consequences we have in our life, you can correct them. You can create all things new, and you want us to be more and more like you. Thank you for giving the stories of the Bible, lessons that we can learn, that can fortify our belief in you and strengthen our faith. Dismiss us now, as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.